Chapter 41. Father Fort Hill received us in his typical fashion, with warmth, welcome, compassion, and food. At first, Thomas was going to remain outside St. Mary's, but I clamped my hand onto the front of his mail and dragged him unceremoniously inside with me. He could have gotten loose, of course, so I knew he didn't really much mind. He growled and snapped at me half-heartedly, but nodded cautiously to Fort Hill when I introduced him. Then my brother stepped out into the hall and did his unobtrusive wall-hanging act. The carpenter kids were sound asleep when we came in, but the noise made one of them stir, and little Harry opened his eyes, blinked sleepily, then let out a shriek of delight when he saw his mother. The sound wakened the other kids, and everyone assaulted Charity and Molly with happy shouts and hugs and kisses. I watched the reunion from a chair across the room and dozed, sitting up, until Fort Hill returned with food. There weren't chairs enough for everyone, and Charity wound up sitting on the floor with her back to the wall, chomping down sandwiches while her children all tried to remain within touching distance. I stuffed my face shamelessly. The use of magic, the excitement, and that final uphill hike through the cold had left my stomach on the verge of implosion. Survival food, I muttered. Nothing like it. Murphy, leaning against the wall beside me, nodded. Damn right. She wiped at her mouth and looked at her watch. She tucked the last of her sandwich between her lips and then started resetting the watch while she chewed. Gone almost exactly 24 hours. So we did some kind of time travel? She asked. Oh, God, no, I said. That's on the list of things one does not do. It's one of the 7 laws of magic. Maybe, she said. But however it happened, a whole day just went poof. That's time travel. People are doing that kind of time travel all the time, I said. We just pulled into the passing lane for a while. She finished setting the watch and grimaced. All the same, I frowned at her. You okay? She looked up at the children and their mother. I'm going to have one hell of a time explaining where I've been for the past 24 hours. It isn't as though I can tell my boss that I went time traveling. Yeah, he'd never buy it. Tell him you invaded Fairyland to rescue a young woman from a monster-infested castle. Of course, she said. Why didn't I think of that? I grunted. Is it going to make trouble for you? She frowned for a moment and then said, Intradepartmental discipline, probably. They couldn't get me for anything criminal, so no jail. I blinked. Jail? I was in charge of things, remember? Murphy reminded me. I was pushing the line by laying that aside and coming to help you. Throw in that extra day and... She shrugged. Hell's bells, I sighed. I hadn't realized. She shrugged a shoulder. How bad is it going to be? I asked. She frowned. Depends on a lot of things. Mostly what Green and Rick have to say, and how they say it. What other cops who were there have to say. A couple of those guys are major assholes. They'd be glad to make trouble for me. Like Rudolph, I said. Like Rudolph. I put on my Bronx accent. You want I should whack him for you? She gave me a quick, ghostly smile. Better let me sleep on that one. I nodded. But seriously, if there's anything I can do, just keep your head down for a while. You aren't exactly well-loved all over the department. There are some people who resent that I keep hiring you, and that they can't tell me to stop because the cases you're on have about a 90% likelihood of resolution. My effectiveness is irrelevant? I thought cops had to have a degree or something these days. She snorted. I love my job, she said, but sometimes it feels like it has an unnecessarily high moron factor. I nodded agreement. What are they going to do? This will be my first official fuck-up, she said. If I handle it correctly, I don't think they'll fire me. But, I asked. She pushed some hair back from her eyes. They'll shove lots of fun counseling and psychological evaluation down my throat. I tried to imagine Murphy on a therapist's couch. My brain almost exploded out my ears. They'll try every trick they can to convince me to leave, she continued. And when I don't, they'll demote me. I'll lose SI. A lead weight landed on the bottom of my stomach. Murph, I said. She tried to smile, but failed. She just looked sickly and strained. It isn't anyone's fault, Harry, just the nature of the beast. It had to be done, and I'd do it again. I can live with that. Her tone was calm, relaxed, but she was too tired to make it sound genuine. Murphy's command might have been a tricky, frustrating, ugly one, but it was hers. She'd fought for her rank, worked her ass off to get it, and then she got shunted into SI. Only instead of accepting banishment into departmental Siberia, she'd worked even harder to throw it back into the faces of the people who had sent her there. It isn't fair, I growled. What is? She asked. Bah! One of these days I'm going to go downtown and summon up a swarm of roaches or something, just to watch the suits run out of the building, screaming. This time her smile was wired a little tight. That won't help me. Are you kidding? We could sit outside and take pictures as they came running out and laugh ourselves sick. And that helps how? Laughter is good for you, I said. 9 out of 10 stand-up comedians recommend laughter in the face of intense stupidity. She let out a tired, quiet chuckle. Let me sleep on that one, too. She pushed away from the wall, drawing her keys from her pocket. I've got an appointment with the spin doctor, she said. You want to ride home? I shook my head. Few things I want to do first. Thanks, though. She nodded and turned to go. Then she paused. Harry, she said quietly. Hmm? What I said in the elevator. I swallowed. Yeah? I didn't mean it to come out so harsh. You're a good man.